World. I'm John Batchelor. The warming trend in climates worldwide. What is to be done? I welcome Dr. Henry Miller. Dr. Henry Miller, a physician, is a molecular biologist, and he's also the Glenn Swager Distinguished Fellow at the American Council on Science and Health. And a warming climate is a great deal of importance for our health. He has published with his colleague Tom Hafer, a systems developer for rockets and drones, now coaching for teenagers for robotics teams. They've developed a proposal. This is in the form of what is to be done about the warming climate. Henry, a very good evening to you. Renewables, that's one answer that we're told in the marketplace. Wind and solar and electric vehicles. Is it enough, Henry? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. You know, this emphasis, which is being applied at a huge expense, monumental expense, to renewables, often coercively, as in California, which is trying to change to electric vehicles entirely by 2035, it simply cannot work. It doesn't work. The models, the good models, all show that very clearly. So what spurred my co-author and I, both of us, by the way, are MIT alums, it was an MIT-generated interactive program called En-ROADS, En-ROADS, that enables you to see, by varying certain parameters, what the effects would be on global climate by the end of the century. And you find that even if you use aspirational changes, like going to full electrification of worldwide of transport and of renewables to virtually 100% worldwide, you only get to a very small decrease in warming of the planet. Without those changes, you would get a change of an increase of about 6 degrees Fahrenheit. With those aspirational and radical changes, interventions, you'd get an increase of about 5.4 degrees. So this is just not going to work. And yet we're about to spend, or are spending, trillions and trillions of dollars on this kind of feel-good undertaking. And so Tom Hafer and I decided that what we really need to do is not to reduce the amount of carbon dioxide and other greenhouse gases at vast expense, but to actually more directly reduce the amount of heat from the sun that gets to the Earth. And we lay this out very clearly and in a lot of detail in an article that your listeners can find at henrymillermd.org. It's the top article published there currently. So what are the possibilities for reducing the amount of heat from the sun that gets to the Earth? Well, there have been proposals, as you know, to put up large heat shields in outer space that block the sun's rays. And there have been proposals to disperse various kinds of reflective chaff into the stratosphere to reflect the sun's rays. But those are impractical, if for no other reason, for political considerations, because you'd have to get virtually or literally worldwide approval to put this kind of stuff, or even worse, bioactive materials like sulfur dioxide particles into the atmosphere.
Which is what volcanoes do. They do it and nobody objects, but doing that artificially would be politically dynamite. Yes, I agree.
Exactly. And I'm glad you brought up volcanoes, because that shows the effects of putting reflective particles in the air. So we see, if we look at global average surface temperatures over the past century, we find that when there was the Mount St. Helens eruption and the El Chichon eruption in the 80s, it caused noticeable blips downward, decreases in the global surface temperature. And again, in 1992, there was an eruption at Mount Pinatubo, and that caused a significant decrease in global surface temperatures. So it can work. If a volcano can do it, we can do it.
All right, let's get to the proposal, Dr. Miller. What do you want to do? How do you want to block the sunlight?
So what we proposed is a large number of large balloons over areas that are receiving a lot of heat from the sun currently. And we calculated that if we could put up three balloons per square mile over the U.S. Southwest, we could have a significant impact in the warming of the of the southwestern United States. And then as the weather patterns and the balloons moved eastward, if we permitted that, then it would have a broader effect. Now, you'll notice I qualified it by saying if we permitted that, because one thing we proposed in these balloons, which would be, by the way, about 300 feet in diameter, is that they have primitive positioning ability, similar to some of the weather balloons that have been developed. And there is experience in producing these kinds of technology. Remember the Hindenburg, the ill-fated dirigible, was 800 feet long. NASA has created very large balloons as well for various projects. So it's doable, but there has to be the will to do it by the government and by politicians.
All right, Henry, the balloons, it makes sense. And putting them at 80,000 feet means that we can hardly see them. And you're not reducing temperature profoundly, but you're shaving it off. So give us more time to develop a technology that allows us to limit the greenhouse gases that are released. All of that is true. And the question is, what does the heat do to our health? So in this final minute or so, plus 5 degrees was your best estimate, 5.5 degrees, plus 6 degrees by the end of the century was the outside number. What is that going to do to our health, Henry? We have about a minute.
Well, it's difficult to say, John. It's already changed agricultural patterns. So in Europe, in Germany in particular, the varietals that they're planting have evolved because some of the cooler weather varietals are no longer doing well in their original sites. There are certain respiratory illnesses that spread more rapidly in cooler weather, so they might be slightly reduced. The suffering of laborers in poor countries will increase significantly with increased temperatures over the rest of the century.
Is that heat associated with other weather phenomena such as flooding and droughts? Is it all connected?
Oh, absolutely. The best guesses of scientists are that the frequency of radical and damaging weather events has increased with increased temperatures.
So what we have here is a modest proposal for what is called geoengineering to put three balloons, 300-foot diameter, per square mile over the southwest of the United States and reduce our temperature enough so that we've mitigated it, at least for the U.S. And if other countries want to dander in, they're welcome. But to try this worldwide would run into some serious conflicts, very serious conflicts.
And at far, far less expense than the trillions, the many trillions that are being expended on fruitless approaches now.
Dr. Henry Miller with his MIT roommate, Tom Hafer, proposing a modest proposal for geoengineering balloons. Well, who doesn't love balloons? Birthday time. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Nash.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.